Good morning and welcome to the beautiful new Iowa State Penitentiary in scenic Fort Madison, Iowa. Some of you may be aware of the fact that there's a competition between a couple wardens with the best grand opening ceremony. The reason I mention that is I think there's some undue influence on behalf of my contemporary and maybe getting a call into Mother Nature. But we're not going to let that influence the voting in any way, shape, or form, because dealing with the most problematic offenders in the state, we're accustomed to adversity. This is a normal day in the park for Iowa State Penitentiary and the wonderful employees that I'm fortunate to be able to work with. I would like to begin by thanking so many of the people that have been instrumental in this project. And when I call your name, if you wouldn't mind standing up for acknowledgement. Our architects from TOK, Venture Architects, Shive Hattery. Thank you. The Walsh Group. Our corrections consultant, Curtis Pulitzer from Pulitzer Bogart and Associates. Mr. Evan Hagen, I don't know if Evan made it today, from DAS. We'll proceed because it's a long list. Our bosses, obviously, the tremendous support from Director Baldwin throughout this endeavor. Deputy Director Bartruff, Deputy Director Wilder, Deputy Director Burt, retired Deputy Director, have all been instrumental in helping the Mitchellville facility and the Fort Madison facility as we take our yesterdays and prepare to move forward to our tomorrows. I'd like to extend a very, very warm appreciation and thank you to the community of Fort Madison for your continued support, embracing the corrections industry, continuing to be great neighbors, as we promise to continue with you. The support and relationship received from Senator Gene Frazee, retired Senator Gene Frazee. Gene, I'm going to have you come up a little later once we start talking. I had the wonderful fortune of inheriting a transition team. Patty will say hers is the best, and I'll continue to say mine is the best, and that's what we're supposed to do. Wardens are kind of like quarterbacks. We get blamed when things go wrong, and that's our job. We understand that. Oftentimes, we receive praise that is really due to the masses, to all of the employees that work at our respective facilities. And this is yet again another one of those instances. Our transition team, if you could stand, please. A lot of them are standing already. And the transition team from central office working in concert with our transition team. A lot of it spearheaded by Miss Laura Ferris, again, was a tremendous asset for us in being able to look beyond today and look beyond what we do on a routine basis and have a vision. This institution is a classic example of that vision and where we intend to go, how we intend to refine the work that we do day in and day out with the offenders that we're responsible for. I would also like to thank one of our individuals was in a terrible accident. He's not here today, but he's here with us in spirit, and that is Jason Boyer. Jason is recovering in Des Moines as we speak. Jason is involved in an awful lot of therapy, and Jason, like many of the employees at the state penitentiary, is a fighter. He's an optimist. He doesn't accept the bad weather. He doesn't let the first song that he hears every day affect his mood. And Jason knows that our heart is with him, and we are very, very confident that his heart is with us. I want to extend a sincere thank you to all the volunteers that help us manage our institutions. We have religious volunteers, we have program volunteers, we have people that come in and help our vets group, we have people that come in and talk to individuals about public speaking. There's so many different programs that we can offer offenders, and just because we're a maximum security institution, just because a lot of people view us as being the end of the line, we don't subscribe to that theory. We celebrate small victories. We understand that we have a significant portion of our population that may never leave the Iowa State Penitentiary, and it's our job to manage them. But that does not deprive them of the opportunity to make some positive changes in their life, nor does it mean solely by virtue of the crime they're serving that we would pay less attention to them. So volunteers, the volunteers that are here in the crowd, would you please stand? Thank you. Talked to a friend the other day about watching the World Series. We used to watch an awful lot of baseball games together. And I said, what is it? What is it about this? You know, when you get in a crowded stadium, just like this crowded gymnasium, and there's something fantastic. There's something going on here with all these people working, you know, in the right direction. And he said, it seems like time stands still when you're in the ballpark. And if we don't do our jobs, especially in a maximum security environment, time can stand still. We can't allow that to happen, and we don't allow that to happen. We continue to work with individuals and say, you know, don't let the time do you. You do the time. Do the time through our programs. Do the time. Listen to us when we walk and talk. Know that we're out here modeling the way for a reason. Take advantage of our evidence-based practices. Take advantage of the time. Work on education. Work on communication. Work on being a better father. Work on being a better brother. Just work on being a better friend. And it's very, very important that I thank my management team as well. My management team consists of deputy warden, associate wardens, health services, business manager, obviously, the real warden of the Iowa State Penitentiary, my administrative assistant, Jill Johnson. These people work tirelessly to keep the Iowa State Penitentiary running and running smoothly. And I thank you very much and appreciate the hard work that you do day in and day out. You're lucky that we're doing this today, because normally at Fort Madison, when we have this much fog, we'd just lock you all down. So we made a concession because we've got some pretty important guests here today, and I'm going to be happy to have them come up here in a minute. I want to tell you something that really is it's a good example of what we're about, what we stand for, despite the level of offender, despite the problems that you run into in our environment. And it's about optimism. And real optimism is being aware of problems while recognizing solutions, knowing about difficulties, but believing that we can overcome, seeing the negatives, but accentuating the positives, being exposed to the worst, but expecting the best. Have reason to complain, but choose to smile. We smile a lot. We smile a lot because we're proud of what we do. We're extremely proud to have you here today to see firsthand the efforts of this wonderful collaboration between the architectural group, the contractors, our corrections consultant, the advice we've received from central office, working with our peers, the tremendous competition between other wardens and the one that happens to be standing here right now. I've been finding a bunch of contraband throughout my facility. It says Warden Patty Wachendorf, Mitchellville facility. I believe in subliminal imagery, so Patty, after the ceremony, I'm going to have to ask you to come up and look behind the stage and see what everybody else has read prior to stepping up here to not let the weather impact their vote, not let a previous wonderful grand opening ceremony tarnish what we're going to experience here today. Thank you very much for coming and celebrating with us, and we are very proud, very excited to be able to show you what we do, how we do it, and we're always here ready to listen to your input. It is my distinct pleasure at this point in time to be able to introduce our governor, Terry Branstad.
Thank you. Warden Nick Ludwig, thank you for that very nice introduction. And it's pretty obvious these wardens are a pretty competitive bunch. As my old football coach used to say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I think the warden here certainly demonstrates that and leads by example. And I want to thank, we've got a tremendous number of legislators here, of both the House and the Senate, both parties. We also have a number of members of both the Board of Parole and the Corrections Board. And I want to thank all of you for being here. And we're very proud of the progress that we've made, the collaboration we see today between corrections and the parole board has never been better. And the result is we've seen a reduction in our prison population, and we've seen the recidivism rate go down at the same time. And I think that's a real credit to the corrections system and to the parole board and to the collaboration between the two. The Lieutenant Governor and I are very proud to be with you today to participate in cutting the ribbon for Iowa's new, improved state penitentiary. It's wonderful to see that the Iowa State Penitentiary will continue to be located here in beautiful Fort Madison, Iowa, employing hundreds of local people right in this area. The new facility has achieved the Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design's gold status. So the LEED gold status, one of the few prisons in the whole United States of America to achieve this energy efficiency status, something you all should be proud of. It's great to see a number of Iowa's new public buildings leading the way in terms of energy efficiency, and that will save our taxpayers millions of dollars in the years ahead in the cost of heating and cooling. We greatly appreciated the dedicated state employees who work here at Iowa's correctional facility in Fort Madison. The Department of Corrections has challenged the staff to participate in the huge task of designing, planning, and writing of operational policies and procedures for this new prison. The staff stepped up and committed almost 4 years of their time to make Iowa State Penitentiary a national model. It is not easy to design and create a new prison while operating an existing prison simultaneously, but you've accomplished that. I want to commend the staff for your professionalism and your dedication to protecting the safety and well-being of the people of this state. Way back in 1983, my first year as governor, one of the first acts that I approved and worked with the legislature was the creation of the Department of Corrections. It used to be buried in the Department of Human Services. We thought it needed more focus, and I supported the creation of the new department to give more attention to the important issues that you address in improving the correction system of our state. The old Fort Madison prison, as we all know, witnessed the entire history of our state. It was built when Iowa was still a territory. The first limestone blocks were laid for what is now known as Cell House 17, when Iowa was a territory. So there's a lot of history in this part of the state. We also know that Iowa history kind of began here when they built the fort, when the military built the fort at Fort Madison. At that time, Iowa's territory stretched all the way to the Canadian border, and parts of North and South Dakota and Nebraska were part of the Iowa territory. We became a state, of course, in 1846. Now is the time to begin an important new chapter in the history of the Iowa State Penitentiary. This prison has seen many changes over the years. This new prison will have its share of challenges and opportunities as well. But we think it's well designed, and we think it's going to meet the needs of this state for a long time to come. How do we empower staff to respond to these future challenges and opportunities? That will determine how successful we are with this new prison and protecting the safety for the citizens of this entire state. The design of the new prison will bring the same level of offender supervision as practiced in our other facilities. In fact, I would say better, because the newer and improved design. Direct supervision provides for a better offender and better staff interaction. Lee County is seeing a lot of positive, significant changes. In addition to this new prison, under construction is a new fertilizer plant just a few miles north of Weaver, and a major development and obviously a number of construction jobs going on there as well. Again, this will be a great thing for Lee County, and we're proud to be here with you to celebrate the new prison as well. I must have said something that turned the sound off, but anyway, I guess it was the signal. It's time to quit, right? That's right. Well, I got to give the warden the credit. I guess he has all the power here. So. No, I'm honored and proud to be with you and to celebrate this very significant development for Fort Madison and for Lee County. And now I want to turn it over to my partner. Lieutenant Governor and I truly work as partners. I've met my match in terms of energy, enthusiasm, and passion. Our Lieutenant Governor, Kim Reynolds.
Thank you. We'll see if we can keep this going. Thank you, Governor Branstad, and good morning. It's great to be here. I have to tell you, though, Nick, I think Patty has won when it comes to the weather, but I want you to know that we take this competition very seriously, and we have an extensive rubric in place. So we're going to pay close attention and wish both of you best of luck. Am I okay to keep going?
No, I think so.
I'm loud, but I'm not sure I'm that loud.
This doesn't look good for our vote here.
Okay, I'll try not to touch it. We had the opportunity to visit the old site a while back, as well as visit the new site during construction. So I'm really proud to be here for the ceremony of the opening of the new facility. The Iowa prison system needs a safe and a secure prison to house its maximum security offender population. And although this is a maximum security prison, this does not have to be the end of the line for offenders. Offenders can improve their lives and become productive members in the prison community. The new prison improves the Iowa Prison Industries program also. It is a fact that as an offender earns a GED while in prison and works for the Iowa prison industries, the prisoner rarely returns to a life of crime. Instead, they become a productive taxpaying citizen in their community. The new prison will also have health care and treatment opportunities that will improve the life of the offenders. There will be a special unit for the offenders with mental health illness who are refusing to participate in a treatment, and the goal really of this new unit is to encourage the offenders to participate in treatment programs so, again, they can become successful in treatment programs prior to their eventual release from prison. The new facility also features a large visiting room, and the more family visits an offender has during their incarceration to rebuild the trust and the relationships, the more likely the offender is not to return to a life of crime. The building of the new prison has been embraced by the community, and Fort Madison and Lee County have given great support to this new prison. That partnership will only continue to strengthen as the movement of the offenders to the new Iowa State Penitentiary will require a great deal of collaboration that has been mentioned. In addition to the collaboration of the local community, the University of Iowa and the Department of Cultural Affairs have been very helpful in guiding in the preservation of the historic artifacts from the rich history of the old Iowa State Penitentiary. In fact, the Iowa Humanities Board has begun the process of actually filming the movement of offenders from the old prison to the new prison. The move of offenders will be a move never before seen in Iowa's history, and it truly will be a historic day. So again, thank you for joining us. Thanks for being here, and we look forward to the rest of the presentation.
To introduce the Director of the Department of Corrections, John Baldwin.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here. I can't tell you how pleased you are, we are as a department, that you have honored us today with your presence. Governor and Lieutenant Governor, thank you very much. Senator Courtney, we deeply appreciate it. Legislators out there, the boards, and everybody else, I can't tell you how pleased we are that you are here with us today. And in fact, I'm going to start out this presentation with a quiz, because legislators and others here in the room I know are very, very smart. The question is, how many nations controlled territory that is now the United States when the first stone was quarried for the Iowa State Penitentiary? By the way, my wife got this, as did the governor and the governor. So here it is. There were four. Spain, Russia, Hawaii was a kingdom, and Texas was a republic. That's how long ago it was that the ISP was started. There's been a lot of change since that time. There's been lots of change. Corrections, even though we are a fairly straightforward system, we do experience change. And change is good. Change is also sometimes painful. The old ISP served this state well. It had some ups, it had some downs. When ISP was down, the whole system suffered. When ISP was up and functioning well, the system was much better. We are going through a radical technology change. We're going through a radical supervision change. Years ago, 13 years ago here at ISP, we piloted our first computerized banking system. And the private company that wrote the software said, "It's intuitive. You won't need training." We said, "I think we're going to need training." And so the company came down, and lo and behold, there was training. And we knew we had a long way to go from a technology standpoint, from one of the five people in the business at the time took the mouse that was in front of her, put it on the floor, and tried to use it as a foot pedal to move the screen around. We knew from a technology standpoint we had a long way to go. Since that time, things have gotten a lot better as far as technology, but we are challenging the staff here to take another leap, another step forward in how to supervise offenders, how to use technology, how to improve the results for the offender and for themselves. This is going to be a much safer institution. They're going to have better results, and Iowans will benefit from that. Two things will not change. Two things will not change in the move up here. The Iowa State Penitentiary has always been the anchor for the correction system. In good times and bad, this has been the anchor. This will be our brand new anchor. It's our responsibility to keep the system stable by having a stable, productive, forward-thinking, maximum security institution. It has to happen. When I came into the Department of Corrections in the 70s, Fort Madison was adrift. It was clearly adrift. And over the years, it has firmly anchored itself in good corrections practice. It's had good staff. That has to happen again here, and I have no doubt that it will. Secondly, what won't change are the staff. You've heard it here already three times, and let me repeat it a fourth. The staff at the Iowa State Penitentiary are just exceptional. They do a job that's difficult, dangerous, and they do it well. They have extreme enthusiasm for their job. They come to work, and I have no doubt in the new prison we're going to be seeing even more improvement. Our goal is to accomplish public safety in a much safer environment and to give and to empower the staff to improve their ability to treat offenders in such a way that they move out of ISP and go to our other prisons. But we must have an anchor, and that anchor is the Iowa State Penitentiary. And for that, I thank all of you for being here. And if you would give me a moment, I do want to make a couple of recognitions, which is not part of the script, I'm sorry, but it's time to do that. I think we have examples here this day of a variety of folks. I'm going to single out several of you, but I'm going to start with one Democratic retired senator, Senator Frazee, Gene, and one retired Republican House member, Lance Horbach. They were the chairs of our Appropriations Committee. And while they came to the job of Appropriations Chairs from very different directions, they cared. They made it their intent, they made it their job to learn about corrections, they visited the institutions, they came, and they cared about staff, they cared about the offenders. Corrections is not a partisan issue, and Lance and Gene knew that, and they worked very hard to ensure corrections went forward. And for that, gentlemen, we deeply appreciate it. I know there's a lot of other legislatures here, but thank you both very, very much. Secondly, you heard the warden talk about Laura Ferris. She was the leader of our transition teams. From central office, she was our learning center director. She volunteered to take over the leadership of both transition teams, which was more than a full-time job, on top of a full-time job. Her family and her husband are here this day. I'd like them to stand up and be welcomed. We really appreciate that. And finally, I do want to acknowledge two people over here, Carol, Todd, hey. My wife, and my youngest son. Hey. So, we really, really appreciate you being here, and thank you for all of your support. But Jamie, thank you. With that, thank you very much. Good day.
I'd like to introduce Senator Courtney.
Thank you. I don't quite understand it. The governor's speaking, the microphone goes out, and he looks at me. I don't get it. Why you thought it was my fault? Anyway, welcome you all here today. I want to welcome everyone to be here, and I want to introduce, first of all, my wife, Nancy. Nancy, would you stand up, please? I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have Nancy get me around this state, so I appreciate that. Let me welcome you all here today. Governor Branstad, I know you've told me before that you have some roots here in southeast Iowa. And Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, I know that you lived for a time in Mount Pleasant, I believe. So I want to welcome both of you back to God's country today. I also have a couple of special introductions I'd like to make. Senator Gene Frazee, everybody's kind of already talked about Senator Frazee. Senator Frazee began his career in Lee County sometime in the 70s. I couldn't quite figure that out. He was a Lee County supervisor, and he got elected to serve in the Iowa Senate in a special election in 1986, and he has served this county since. He took immediate interest in prisons in this state. And in fact, I think one of the first things he did was made a tour of every facility in Iowa.
One facility, not this one facility wouldn't let him in. And so I don't know if they got closed later or not, sounds crazy, but at any rate, they wouldn't let him in. So this thing went out again. See?
Well, you looked at the word.
I bet you did.
At least it's a bipartisan deal.
That's really out now. I think we broke it.
Leonard, can you take a look at it for you?
That's right.
Baldwin broke it when he was.
Test. It's always a little shaky when they don't know what's wrong with it. It just started working again. So, I forget where I was. But anyway, Senator Frazee, I honestly feel we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the work that Senator Frazee has done over the years in the prison system. And I just personally want to thank you for that. I also want to introduce today Senator Rich Taylor, because this is Rich Taylor's district. And Rich Taylor has only been elected, only took office about a year ago. He serves with me on Justice Budget Appropriations as well as the Judiciary Committee. He's doing a really good job for this district and for Iowans, and I appreciate that. We started off, I was going to recognize all the legislators, and then half the legislature came in. So the warden said in the fog, sometimes they lock down. About the second week in January, a lot of people in this state would be pretty happy if they locked us all down in here, I think. But for today, I'd just like all the legislators to please stand and be recognized. Please stand. Thanks a lot. This is really a good working group that we have in Des Moines. Let me just say, the last time a new prison was opened in Lee County, I know you've heard some of this today, but the last time was 174 years ago in 1839. Think about that. The West was still wild. Folks were still running wagon trains and shooting Indians when they built this prison. The Civil War was 20 years into the future, 20 years away ahead of us. Statehood for Iowa was 7 years into the future. The place in Des Moines where the Capitol building now rests was just a grass-covered hill. No one had even thought about that yet. I doubt if anyone present that day ever thought that that prison would last till 2013. If this prison lasts as long, it will be 2187 when it's replaced. Who can imagine what it'd be like then, except that Terry Branstad will still be governor. I debated on that one, but I thought he could probably. I want to thank all the people who helped make this prison a reality. While there will be glitches and issues, make no mistake, this is a state-of-the-art facility. I've only started being involved with prisons since coming to the legislature in 2003. But every time I go inside the walls, I'm struck by the hopelessness and the wasted lives, especially the young lives. I'm struck by not just the young offenders, but also their victims, whose lives are forever changed. What have we as leaders of this state missed? Why do so many people in this society think it's okay to steal and harm others? I hope this issue can be turned around. I think this prison is a step in the right direction. I think if you treat offenders humanely, you will help them treat others in the same way. Some say the state is building holiday inns for those who break the law. If you take the tour today, I think you'll agree this is far from a holiday inn. It is, however, a better environment in which to be rehabilitated. And that should be our goal. If we can't accomplish this, then we can look forward to opening a prison like this with all that that entails every 20 years or so. And that would be a tragedy. Thanks for coming today. Sorry about the rain, and please stay for the tour.
I would like to introduce Michael Coleman, the chairman of the Board of Corrections.
Greetings. We are glad to be here and have this, or be afforded this wonderful opportunity to stand before so many bright faces and speak to you. But before I say any remarks, I'd like to recognize people that I serve with. I think a great group does tremendous work, and that is the Board of Correction, both those present and past. Board of Correction, would you please stand? They put in laborious hours to look over the things that the Department of Correction is doing, and we are glad to serve in that capacity. We had the wonderful opportunity a few days, just on 2 days ago, to speak to you about the right stuff. We could come and we could quote a lot of statistics because we know what kind of referendums and bonds it took to get to this place. We knew, as already been said, all the legislators sitting down and trying to come to agreement. But I think my task as chair is trying to cast vision, trying to let us see what hard work looks like. Many times we can forget that we're trying to get to a particular place. We said that the right stuff is when there were experimental pilots who pushed the boundaries of all that we understood, and on the other side there was this scary risk of demons that were out in the air and they were dangerous. It is right to have the right stuff, but the right stuff is not enough. The right stuff will make a few do what needs to be done. But there has to be something more that presses us past the few into the many. This Department of Correction has been blazing the trail for years, and yet our population may not know that we lead the nation in community-based corrections. And so the few are doing the right thing because they have the right stuff. But what we also need is a mark of change. We need something that sets out and tells us that we're not just talking the talk, we're walking the walk. We're pressing ourselves forward, and what better place than Fort Madison? What better place than this historical place that in 1812 a fort was started, set on a river, to board a to protect the territory? And in protecting that territory, listen to this, it was doing the exact same thing that our mission says, advancing successful reentry into and to protect the public, staff, and offenders from victimization. Now, it was a fort. It was protecting things. It was making sure that from Indians and whatever other kind of enemies that there might be, that we were protected. But here's the terrible thing about it. It's set on the edge of a territory, being the border. Doesn't want anyone to come into it. It actually is keeping people out of it. What a picture. It's a picture of prisons. It's a picture of the penitentiary. It's a picture of what we think of when we think of penitentiaries. But I think that we have now some marks of change in Mitchellville. I think we have marks of change now here in Fort Madison. In 1839, they changed a fort into a prison. What a change. It was protecting those citizens from the things that were outside that could be danger to it. We changed it to the enemies that were inside of us and said, let's protect ourselves from them, for they are danger to our structure and our community. What a change. And look how long that image has stood. Look how long it has stood to say that we are not those people who are citizens together, and that we are not people who shall return into one another, that we're not going to be the same family of Iowans, but now a change is taking place. The change that's taking place is saying we will invest in those citizens who have gone down the wrong road. We will invest in those who have been victimized and made to be those who have hurt. We will do this because we are Iowans together. And in being Iowans together, we have now done an awesome thing. We've taken the prison off of the bluffs of the Mississippi, away from the borders of being condemned, away from the edges where nobody wants to be included, and drawn the prisons into our bosom. We now stand not on the edge, but we stand in inclusiveness. We still have the same structure. We still have to make sure people do their time and then they come out corrected. But now we're saying we draw this into our bosom and we want to make it complete. That when the majority of those who come into this institution and all of our institutions, they are going to go out. And when they do, they will be productive, good citizens. We thank you for your support. As I said earlier, come along with us in this venture. But let it not be the few, but the many. Thank you very much.
Gene, would you come up here quickly?
Thank you, Warden. You notice you helped me up the steps. The old guy has to have a little help. Governor, Lieutenant Governor. There's so much I want to say, but I know we got a break for lunch and all those kinds of things. But, you know, the people who work in the background, you know, I've gotten a lot of credit for what I did here, but the staff, started with Robin Mills many years ago in the appropriation, and Teresa Kehoe and Kathy Engel. Those are the people who do all the work behind the scenes, put the numbers together and work with John. And John, you know, there's such a great working relationship between John and the staff in both the House and Senate. And so they do all the hard work, and then they lay these numbers out for us, and we make the
Just got to stay away from it.
I got to be careful because I'll get. You know, these not just because they're staffers, but or women, but they do the hard work. And my wife, I apologize for her not being here, but she's had some health problems and didn't feel like she could come today. But basically, I tell everybody, she's a senator and I'm the front guy, because she does all the hard work and gets the stuff. And we as legislators, we tell our staff, we want this, go get it, you know. And so they do all the hard work. And a lot of people don't realize that, but that's part of the whole thing. And even the governor, I think, would agree that if it wasn't for the staff, it would be pretty tough to run the place. But, so I was in the Senate for 27 years, and I told Faye just recently, I said, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think I would be a senator and be there that long? And she said, Gene, you've never been in my wildest dreams. I got to give a little speech here for the warden. I met him when he first came here. I was just really impressed with this guy, with his ability to work with staff and work with the inmates. It takes a special kind of person to do that. Warden Mathis, when he was here, he kind of put out some fires and did a nice job, but he was here temporarily and he admitted it. He didn't want to be here, so. Anyway, the warden here has done a tremendous job, and I've had a couple of people who wanted to tour the prison. An attorney from Sioux City had he thought there was abuse going on inside the prison. So he came down, I told the warden about it, and he said, well, we'll show him what we got going here. And when the whole thing was over, this guy was totally turned around and said, well, you know, these guys are getting treated pretty darn good. And so he kind of took care of that. Could have been a lawsuit if he hadn't stepped forward, but the warden did a nice job on that. As recently as last week, I had a person I met in Ireland, and he's part of the security of the Shannon Airport. And we became friends. I went to his home over there. He drove me around one day. And so he was retired, and he called, and we talked about castles and all that kind of stuff. I said, well, we've got actually a similar thing here in Fort Madison. And so he wanted to come over and see it. So he called up, wanted to know if he could do that, flew in here, and the warden graciously, I called down and talked to his secretary and said, could we do that? And if the warden would be available, it'd be nice. And she said, so he called back and said, yes, I would love to do that. And took this man, gave him a tour of the prison, and kind of told him how things worked there. And this fellow was really impressed by how the warden dealt with this. So again, I would say that, without tromping on anybody, but I believe we've got a great, great warden here. Really great guy to work with. To work with the inmates and our clients, however you want to describe them. But he has a real good understanding. They understand him. And I think that the staff that works there is the same way. He's up front. He doesn't give them any false impressions. This is the way it's going to be. I've been hired to run this place. That's the way I'm going to do it. And he does one great job. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Warden. Appreciate it.
See, the warden hand him $100.
and my card, Patty. Rebecca, is the ribbon up here? I want to thank you all for sitting through the program with us. I want to extend a thank you again. I overlooked thanking Dr. Deal and Chris Giese for their assistance in setting up a very significant housing unit for us to be able to manage mentally ill offenders and our aging and mentally challenged individuals, as well as the large number of offenders who require medical treatment. So I apologize for the oversight. At this point in time, we will ask the governor and lieutenant governor and the director and senator to participate in the ribbon cutting ceremony.